más de Dios. El tiempo nos distanció y se enfrió el amor. Pero espero ese día que el destino nos unirá. Mi amor por ti siempre seguirá.
Oh, oh, oh.
American Graffiti. Where were you in 62?
Grab that special one and jump into your candy-colored custom or your screaming machine. Cruise down.
And tune into WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta. Where was I in 62? Listening to Wony.
Bro, I just got an email from SUNY Oneonta IT saying that my account got deleted unless I click this link. Should I?
No. Report it. That's phishing.
But it looks real. It's some support at sunyoneonta-ithelp.biz.
Bruh. Okay. Real IT emails come from @oneonta.edu. That's like getting a text from Jeff Bezos asking for your bank info.
So, if I clicked it...
Oh, your password gone. Your data stolen. And your dignity non-existent.
What do I do?
Okay, hold on. Here are some steps to combat these issues. Step 1, make sure to change your password. 2, check your factor settings. Step 3, change the passwords for any other accounts that you might have used with that password.
Okay, dodged a bullet. Thanks, bro.
Yes, no problem. All right, now let's get back to important things like figuring out why the Wi-Fi dies every time that we need it most.
Hey, everyone. You're listening to the Wony Weekly Update. Here are some upcoming events to look forward to. On Monday, March 2nd, join the Activities Council to make spring-themed arts and crafts in Hunt Union International Lounge at 8 p.m. On Tuesday, March 3rd, from 12:30 to 5 p.m., donate your used clothes to the Red Dragon Thrift Shop in Hunt Union next to Starbucks. Trivia Tuesday is happening at 9 p.m. in Red Dragon Theater at Hunt Union. Interested? Winter fun? Happening March 4th from 2 to 4 p.m. in the President's Garden. Check out the Winter Carnival, which has winter-themed carnival games, delicious donut holes, hot cocoa, and even more events to explore. On Thursday, March 5th, Mask and Hammer presents the first showing of Stupid Effing Bird, happening in the Hamlin Theater at 7:30 p.m. More showings are also happening on Friday and Saturday at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday at 2 p.m. This has been your Wony Weekly Update on WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta. More information about these events and more can be found on Campus Connection. Have a great week, everyone. Keep it locked.
Yo, what's up, everybody? DJ Nusfer Mark II. DJ Nusfer Mark II. There we are. We're here on What's in Your Pocket, episode 92. 92, folks. I have a very special guest coming on for 100, which I'm super excited about. But we have another extremely special guest this morning. Janai La Vita. Oh, you say hello?
Oh,
there you are. You're on.
I'm on. Good morning.
That's right. Good morning. And I came up with this awesome song, and I'm sure everybody, maybe you've heard this before, but when I walk by your office, I see the thing on there, right?
Yeah.
And I think of this. The first thing, I always associate everybody with a song. So everybody I know gets a song.
I'm like bracing myself.
Yeah, right? Well, your song's awesome because it's Living Janai La Vita. That's your song, which I think is a good song, right?
All right, cool. Yeah, man, I dig.
Yeah, what was that guy? Ricky Martin?
Ricky Martin.
Ricky Martin did that originally. Living La Vita.
Wasn't he just, I have to admit, I did not watch the whole thing. I watched, the Bad Bunny performance, but wasn't he just on the Super Bowl halftime show?
I think so. I think he was part of that.
Yeah.
Which is awesome because that song's awesome.
Yeah.
Anyways, there's your theme song. Everybody gets a theme song. Mora, our awesome admin assistant. I was doing it to Christopher Cross's sailing. So I was going, Mora, take me away where I'm going. Yeah, it's much easier for me to relate everybody to a song. Okay, speaking of that, now we're going to get into some kind of crazy stuff coming on in a minute, but I thought we'd play a fun, not necessarily game, but somewhat of a game. I'm going to play a song by a band you may or may not know.
All right, I dig.
And we're going to listen to the song, and the college kiddies will know this one. All right, okay. This was a big COVID tune.
All right.
And I learned of this band on NPR.
All right, okay.
And they're amazing. I've seen them live, and they're just absolutely incredible. They have two albums out. This was the first big single that they released in 2020, I believe. So I'm going to play this, and we're going to listen to it, and then we're going to talk about the vocal performance, and because Shania's a vocal teacher.
Yeah.
And a performer.
Yeah, that's
and all right. And all things of the vocal, the vocal stuff. So, but we're going to check this out. And, yeah, you ready?
Yeah, totally.
Okay. So that was Chaise Long, okay?
Yeah.
By a band called Wet Leg.
Uh-huh. Oh, this is too weird.
That's the name of the band, Wet Leg. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I know them.
And they're from?
Scotland, yeah.
The Isle of Wight.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Which is, I think, part of the UK, I think, right?
Well, Scotland, too, yeah.
It's Scotland, okay, up there, right? And they were a big... I discovered them on NPR because it came out when I was driving, you know, whatever, when everybody's afraid to, like, even look at anybody.
Yeah, I know, right? I got to put my mask on my eyeballs.
Yeah, right?
Don't
like
give me the,
in like, you
don't
know,
give me the germ.
It was like April or something like that, you know, and it was just kind of like hiding in the car or whatever.
Yeah.
What do you think of this song?
So this is wild. I mean, it's serendipitous, shall we say, because I just saw them in Edinburgh over the holidays. So I took my...
you did?
Yeah, this is crazy. So I took my mom and my two aunts on like a bucket list kind of trip over the break, and... we went to Edinburgh for something called Hogmanay. Have you heard of Hogmanay?
No.
I had not heard
Hogmanay.
Of Hogmanay.
What does that even mean?
I know, right? I was like,
do you know
what
it means?
I do now, but I had no idea. You know, I was like, I just thought, all right, sweet. I'm gonna take my family on a fun, you know, trip together. And my husband was there too. I should mention him. Yeah, Giacomo. Yeah, he came.
Giacomo.
And so we went, and the idea was, all right, we're going to go to London. And because my mom had never been, you know, to any of these places. And so I was like, we're going to go to London. And then, oh, wouldn't it be cool to like hop on a train and go to Edinburgh? And I had no idea that Hogmanay is the New Year's Eve bash of your life. Apparently it's on like, it should be on everybody's bucket list to go to Edinburgh. And now that I've been, I can say it's true. It's amazing. So they headlined headlined there. I mean, I will say, because, you know, I was with people like in their late 60s and through their, you know, 70s. So we did not go to, there were different stage areas anyway.
Yes.
So we were at a different viewing platform for the whole New Year's Eve thing, but we were out there.
Gotcha.
And they were there too. Is that weird?
That's crazy. Yeah, yeah. They're huge. So I just saw them at the Brooklyn Paramount, which is in downtown Brooklyn by... Long Island University. So, but it's a Long Island University. You know that?
That area ish. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a university there, right?
Okay.
It was originally this theater, and Ella Fitzgerald was one of the people who had her mainstay there.
Wow.
Right? So there's a lounge upstairs called Ella's where she used to perform all the time. The theater was gorgeous, and then it got bought out by Long Island University, which turned the main performance room into a gymnasium.
Oh.
And they still have crazy, like, what do you call the stuff? Para, whatever it is. The stuff that's, like, hanging around like a the ornaments on, like, a theater.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? When you look at the ceiling, it's like gold chandeliers.
Yeah, the proscenium.
Yeah,
is all...
that stuff, right? So it's all there with a basketball court on the bottom.
Okay.
Right?
Wow.
Recently, Live Nation bought it back.
Okay.
From the university's still there, but they bought back the Paramount, and or they called the Paramount. I don't know what it was called before. And they redid it, and it's gorgeous in there. And I saw Devo there.
Okay.
I saw... maybe they might be giant. I've seen three or four shows there. We have a student that is a former student from here that's one of the heads of photography there.
Wow.
So it's super cool. Because I get to go there and hang out with her and go to the lounge and stuff like that when I go down to shows.
Oh, fun.
Brooklyn Paramount. It's cool. But I saw them there and they were just absolutely wild. What do you think of the vocal stuff?
So
it's interesting, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've listened to her sing other stuff. I mean, even when we were in Edinburgh, it was pretty cool because they have like, you know, all these like holiday markets around, and their stage was right at the foot of the castle, and so you couldn't help but hear all the, you know, like the sound check,
sure,
and stuff. So, I mean, let's see it from a, you know, a technical point of view. This, for instance, doesn't have like a wide range. I think on purpose it's like designed to sound very, you know, sort of nonplussed, very, very calm.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, great intonation and very smooth, easy resonance production. And I mean, I've heard some of other stuff is a little edgier, you know, vocally.
Oh, yeah.
But this is very, I would say, tame in terms of production. So
monotone-y.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very, like, you know, just, yeah.
And bizarre. Like, I had never heard it. That was when I was heard on NPR. It was kind of one of those things where it was like, This is new.
Right.
It's like some new take on something, and it was just bizarre to me. And I was like, oh, she's long.
Yeah. And, I mean, you know they're European because they're pronouncing it correctly.
That's right. And, chaise lounge?
Yeah. Oh, I'm on chaise.
And if you got a chaise lounge?
Exactly.
Okay, cool. So let's go back. We're gonna go back in time. We're going back in time.
Yeah.
Conception till you... Let's go first half of life for you. So let's talk about who you are.
Okay.
Where you come from.
And then deep
thoughts, right, with Jack Handy. Don't talk happy fun ball, right? And then let's get to, let's say, graduate from the university of whatever university you graduated from.
Okay.
I'm assuming you must have had to graduated from a university because you teach at a university.
Yep, definitely.
So let's go back and get a crash course.
Okay, crash course. All right, so I'm from Clearwater, Florida.
Okay.
I grew up on Clearwater Beach, in fact.
What side is that on? Is that Gulf side or the other?
Yeah, west side. Yeah, west coast.
West coast.
West
okay.
side, yeah.
Yeah, the west side.
Which I'm just going to let all of my, you know, coastal snobbery hang out. I think that's the side, you know, if you want to go to the beach.
Is it Naples over there? Is Naples on that
yes,
side?
Yes, further south, yeah.
Yeah.
The Clearwater Beach is, it's you know, one of the best beaches in the world. I feel like I've seen a few and it's still... You know, white sandy beaches, you know, wide, long, pretty fantastic place to grow up. I mean, I didn't come from an affluent family, so I spent a lot of time outside appreciating, like, the nature. And I wanted to be a marine biologist for a long time because I was just in love with all of that. And so, I mean, Florida at that time was a great place to grow up. Like, I was really, you know, I feel like in hindsight, I feel pretty honored. Like two of my three principals, for instance, like elementary, middle school and high school were people of color and, you know, very diverse, you know, area. I now like I teach in the, you know, New York City, you know, tri-state area. And it kind of blew my mind, you know, going to graduation parties of like high school students, like during COVID, like where, you know, everyone was trying to like hold it together and,
yeah, sure.
And you know, like view the video out on somebody's lawn. And I was like, whoa, there's like no brown people, like, or my student would be like the only brown person in class. So that was weird to me because Florida was not like that. And I went to a performing arts high school. I was super lucky because, again,
this is still in Florida, right?
Florida. Yeah. Pinellas County Center for the Arts. I'll give them a shout out. So, I mean, public school was the thing. And I loved, like, I was the kind of kid who I hated to miss school. Like, that for me was...
Was that performing arts? Was that a public school that you applied
yeah,
to?
Yeah. Okay. It was a magnet school. So it was on the campus of Gibbs High School, which was in South St. Pete.
Okay.
You know, very diverse area. And I'd say my elementary school, you know, middle school, all like further north. But to get to that high school, that was like a 45-minute bus ride. Like you had to want it and I wanted it, you know.
For vocals?
Yeah.
Is that your main thing there?
Yeah. Although, you know, kind of a weird, that was sort of my origin story, I guess, getting into classical. Because until then, like I played flute. You know, I was in the band. My uncle was a guitarist. Actually, a couple of my uncles were guitarists. And, you know, around the house, like with my aunts and uncles, because I was kind of, my aunts and uncles are one of eight. And I've got three little sisters on my mom's side, three little sisters on my dad's side. But I hadn't even met my dad's
big
side.
Big old family.
Huge, yeah. I hadn't even met my dad's side yet. So on my mom's side, I was really like the ninth child. So like my aunts and uncles were, you know, listening to like the Ramones and,
sure.
You know,
good stuff.
Yeah, at home. And so I was hearing all of that and I was big into musical theater, played the flute, but I hadn't really thought about classical until the performing arts high school came to my middle school and they were like, we're holding auditions. So I auditioned for flute, got in for flute, auditioned for musical theater, got in for musical theater. And, you know, in one of those auditions, I think it must have been flute. They were like, well, I don't know if they were desperate. Maybe they were desperate for like classical singers, but they were like, sure. You know, do you sing classical music. And I was like, no, no way. I hadn't had voice lessons, you know, by that point. And I was, you know, I was just studious and had been in band and all that. So they accepted me on probation. And that was it. Boy, I was like, probation. You know, I feel like my mentality was, I'm going to, you know, it was a challenge.
Yeah.
And my mom and my grandmother worked in the public library, which was also like my haven. So I spent tons, like my summers in the library, you know, volunteering. And I was in a puppeteering troupe. Yeah. But like as
being nerdy over here.
Oh, please. If you didn't know, yeah, I'm like grade A nerd.
Yeah, so awesome.
The yeah. So that was it, though. I mean, I got, you know, because it was free, really high quality education.
Yeah, right.
You know, for those 4 years, and that definitely
cool
turned me to the dark side.
Well, yeah, right. and then you go, so you go through this thing, right? You start singing the classical.
Yep.
The classical.
Yeah.
And then, so it's time to go to school, or not school, right? You're going to graduate, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And
so,
then what do you decide to do there?
So, again, I feel like I've been fortunate to have, you know, sort of mentors or opportunities come my way. And someone by the name of Barbara Hill Moore, she's my North Star. She came to my performing arts high school and gave a master class. And she was at SMU in Dallas. And at that point, we had one student who had gone there. And that's how she knew about our performing arts high school. And she wanted to come recruit. But otherwise, I was like, you know, auditioning for Manhattan School of Music and Cincinnati Conservatory of Music and New England Conservatory.
Sure.
And,
the
you
big
know,
ones.
Yeah, I was like, I'm going to go, you know, to a conservatory as an undergraduate. And she came and that was it. I mean, she is the most inspirational, brilliant woman. She grew up in, you know, St. Louis, a fierce woman of color, not even allowed to go to the opera house. You know, it was segregated at that time. And she had, you know, built herself and, you know, brought herself up in this, you know, opera world, classical singing world. And I just knew. And she's the most phenomenal voice teacher. I mean, her legacy is incredible. So that was it. And fortunately, as you know, and financially challenged kid, I got pretty much a full ride in terms of scholarships and financial aid.
Is that a private school?
It is.
It is a private school.
Yeah. It's in Dallas. And I hesitate to say the name. I'm not religious. And so when I tell people I went to Southern Methodist University, I don't want them to think that it's like a, you know, like a Notre Dame or somewhere. It's
sure.
It's a secular university. Yep. It was, I mean, the resources they had, especially, I mean, because Barbara Hill Moore was more than enough, but the rest of the school was also, you know, pretty amazing. And I also, yeah, I felt really lucky to go.
Cool.
So that was my 4 years in Dallas. And
specializing in, you did a lot of opera?
My degree was, Bachelor of Music and Vocal Performance.
Okay.
But I have to say, you know, I've always had one foot in the, what I'll say is the CCM, the contemporary commercial music world, including musical theater. Like I'm really, you know, as an undergraduate there was not a musical theater program. They just started one, actually. But so I always just did my own thing. And then, of course, professionally, I've done both. But
sure.
Yeah. And so I've never been I've never been, you know, a one-trick pony.
Yeah.
I've got lots of interest. So, but for classical, as you know, I mean, it's, you've got to be all in to master a technique, you know, and
it's hard to make it in that, just if you're just going to be a performer, right? So mm-hmm. I'm just going to be a performer in the in the world of classical stuff. It's like, first of all, you have to be like absolutely incredible. Not that we all aren't, but you know, you have to keep at it. And then second of all, the money's not always necessarily there.
No.
So it's really hard just to make it as that.
Yes. It's true. I mean, if we're looking, like, I definitely wasn't pursuing things. I mean, I have an aunt who's a geophysicist, and I think she was kind of sad when I decided, okay, forget about marine biology. Forget about STEM.
I want to sing.
I'm going to sing, yeah. But I brought her over. She ended up becoming, like, a big opera fan, you know. But But I've never lost that either, you know, like the marine biology, like I'm a paddy dive master and rescue diver, you know, so I've held on to all these, you know, interests and stuff. But it's true, like in the classical music field, especially for voice, you really ideally need to have something unusual and something that sets you apart. I mean, certainly you have to be super skilled, you know,
but even these days, you know, it's so funny. I get students coming in, guitar players, and they're like, look at me play this thing. It's super fast. I was like, great. I was like, nobody cares.
Right.
Like literally nobody cares that you can play that. You don't have an X factor.
Yeah.
You need an X factor. Figure out what the X factor is.
That's it.
And some of it's like, I can write songs, or I have this really cool vibrato, or I have this really cool flair to the way I deliver things, or, you know, it has to, there's something.
There's got
to
be something unusual,
That's right, because, and especially now with them, you know, it was so crazy before the interwebs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you remember, before the Empire.
Oh, yeah.
Before the dark times, before the Empire.
Exactly.
Right? You're like, kind of sitting there going, hey, I'm doing my thing, and I'm really good, you know? And you're only exposed to the things that you could go see live.
Right.
Right. Or recordings of things, right?
Yeah.
And then when the internet blows up, you're like, wow, there's somebody in Romania that's like really good. And then you're like, oh, that Argentinian guitar player is really good too. And then you realize there's millions of people just as talented as you are.
Exactly.
And you didn't see it before. Now we see it.
Yeah.
So it almost becomes the technique part of it becomes this automatic thing, like you're just expected to be able to do
that. You have to be, yes.
Where you spent all this time before kind of working on that thing as opposed to this other thing, you know what I mean?
Right.
Not to say that we didn't work on that before, but
yeah,
you soon realize now that there's like, I go online and watch some like 5-year-old play like a Paganini like guitar concerto or something like that behind their head on like a nylon string that they built.
Yeah, there's
and
been
you're,
like...
You're like, that's insane.
Yeah, yeah. The bar just rises and rises. And also the bar of, you know, what impresses people. And that's sad because there's so much desensitization, you know.
100%.
And, yeah. So, yeah. I still love it. Still doing it. May 4th. In fact, got a concert here on campus. May the 4th. Yeah.
That's a good day.
Yeah, 5:30. I'm going to perform with our colleague, Dr. Kent, and also my husband on guitar. So
amazing.
Piano and
we got a trio.
Voice. Yeah, exactly.
Vocal, guitar, and piano.
Well, I don't know if we'll actually do anything as a trio, but yes.
Somebody should write a piece for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Or harpsichord. It'd be cool if it was like harpsichord, guitar, classical guitar.
Do it.
I got to write one.
I love because you're super supportive of writers, right?
I care about a lot of stuff, but I'm 100% for... You know, when I teach, it's not repertoire based. Yeah. All my teaching is based on here's how to play the instrument.
Yep.
And you should write songs,
mm-hmm.
you know, but that's also the world I'm living in. You know, I'm living in this thing like being like for me to make it as a musician. My personal thing is that like I'm playing a gig. I get a gig on Saturday and I get to go out there and play with my trio and play all my original music.
Yeah.
And they're paying me.
Yeah.
You know, which is awesome.
Pretty awesome,
stuff
yeah.
that I wrote, you know. I did the thing where I played other people's stuff for a long time.
Yeah.
And I have not that I don't appreciate it. I just am done with that. Like,
right.
I've been wanting just to play my own stuff. And the stuff that I do at the college. So I'm doing, like, The Wall or, like, doing,
it's
like,
amazing.
Jazz, dude, like, stuff like that. I get my kicks of that kind of thing through the collegiate circuit,
yeah,
so that I don't have to do it. I also play like a Beatles, like the Beatles rooftop concert every year at the Deck of the Autumn, and we do like a thing like stuff like that is like super fun. I do Rocky Horror, that kind of stuff, and it just, you know, it scratches that itch, you know. But
yeah, it's fun.
And for me, it's just different because it's honing myself in as a you know, when you write when you play a chordal instrument, it's a lot easier to compose.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's it. People
for sure.
that play chordal instruments, piano, guitar, it's much easier to, because you got a good grasp on harmony.
Right.
Not necessarily just melody, and not mm-hmm. to say that other people don't, but you're surrounded by it. Because when you first start playing, you know, that's what you do. You're playing harmony first. You know, like,
mm-hmm.
so you're like, oh, cool, you know. Okay, so you go through school.
Yeah.
That's your undergrad.
That's undergrad, yeah.
And then you have We go pretty high here, right?
Yeah.
We going high here?
Not a doctorate.
You got to have one of those things.
But yeah.
So, master's?
So then, master's I did at Manhattan School of Music.
Great school.
I spent my junior year, you know, as people do, and I definitely encourage people, like, take advantage of those study abroad programs. SMU had a program in Paris, but I also, on my own, reached out to a teacher at the Paris Conservatory. Yeah, my junior year with this teacher, who was, she was amazing, and she was American, actually, an American in Paris. And, yeah. And so I really wanted
Gershwin?
To get back there. Exactly.
Gershwin.
Yeah, yes, yeah. And I was like, no, her name was Peggy Bouverie. What do you mean?
But yeah, was Gershwin. It Gershwin?
I studied with Gershwin.
Yeah.
I don't think he would have been a good voice teacher. But, so I wanted to get back there. And I went through the whole like Fulbright process. And then when I didn't get the Fulbright to do my master's, I just went to MSM, which was a good excuse to get me to New York. And so did all that. I mean, I've got to say also, circle back a little bit about the whole, you know, what are you passionate about in, and how does that drive you in your career? I mean, for a long time I did the like, okay, I gotta, you know, get cast in the thing, you know, and I did, and I got cast in things and I did stuff, but like, you know, I'm a philosophical being, and words, I've always been really interested in words.
Yeah.
And so
after, you ever listen to Away With Words?
Away With Words?
Away With, you ever listen to that show?
Uh-uh.
Oh, NPR. Sundays, and I think it's either 12 or 1. It's called Away With Words, and people call up with a word that they don't know where it came from, and then they talk about it.
Ooh.
Check it out. Just,
ooh,
it's called Away With Words. Sorry to interrupt, but
no,
you just
but
said
cool.
that, and it's a very cool program. I love it. I try to listen to it every Sunday when I'm in some kind of car.
I'm always slammed with gigs and teaching on Sundays. Nah, I don't have like a normal weekend
off.
Life.
Sick.
I know, right?
Away With Words. Okay,
yeah. So anyway, so that kind of, you know, it makes me think a lot about, okay, well, what is the statement here? What is this? What is this piece of music, especially because vocal music is my thing? Like, what's it doing? I mean, it's cool for like people to feel entertained or soothed or, you know, whatever by music and vocal music. But I definitely gravitate toward things that have more interesting messaging, something to say, something that makes people think.
Sure.
The opera world is, you know, phenomenal for many reasons, and there's lots to appreciate about it, but I really also like just, you know, song and vocal music, which makes me also interested in lots of different genres. So,
yeah,
you know, I think that's sort of where I am. Like, what can we do with it? How does it, you know, I'm very interested in, like, protest.
Yeah.
You know what, how is, because the voice is so unique, it's something, you know, we all have, so it's philosophically there's a lot here, so that's really interesting. And like, what can you do with the voice physically? Like, there's so much. And so I think especially in the training world, like training of voices, you encounter some snobs who are like, oh, well, that's not healthy, or oh, that's, you know, this or that, and there's a,
you should do it this way.
Yeah, there's a very limited kind of narrow perspective, and that's not me. I'm very interested in, you know, especially with students, and especially here, like where you get students, and it's like, okay, what are you interested in? What do you want to do? And then helping them pursue that, not just here at Oneonta, but, you know, everywhere. What's the goal? You tell me what you want to do and I'll help you, you know, do it, but not within like a really narrow framework.
Yeah. It's like this, Giacomo, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was he a fan of Segovia?
My hunk of man. Yeah.
My hunk of man. So yeah. Segovia, you know, when Segovia passed away, everybody kind of, what was the, it was the, like the classical guitar kind of thing is like when he passed away, everybody had a sigh of relief.
Right.
Because Segovia, although he brought the classical guitar to this huge thing, it wasn't like that before him. right? He really created this piece written for him, orchestral reductions. He also was a jerk. He was a jerk, and he believed in this one way to do it, and it was his way. You know, if you went to a master class, I'd watch a master class with him every once in a while online just to laugh because some guy will be playing, he'll be playing some transcription that Segovia did. He's like, why are you using your fourth finger on that thing? He goes, I didn't want to. And he's like, I don't want to listen to you anymore. Ooh. Like, he's just like a jerk.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, so what? Nice. Segovia. Giacomo. You know, that's his song. That's his song.
He's
that Beach Boy. What is that song?
Kokomo.
What is Giacomo? You can tell him that.
he gives us the Giacomo Finale.
Well, yeah, that one's too obvious. Like, this one's more interesting to me. I have yet to hear him play, so
May the 4th.
I know. I'm gonna come out and be able to, be able to hear him play, because it's so... I love watching other guitar players. Like, it's super interesting to me. I'm somebody who has no competitive edge in terms of other people. I'm just, like, super interested in what other people are doing.
We're the same.
Because they do the thing. Like, you do the thing. I don't do that thing. Like, you do that thing.
You do the thing.
And I'm going to go listen to you do your thing.
Yeah, I want to see you do your thing, too. I appreciate your thing. Gosh.
And then where'd you get your doctorate?
So I did something kind of interesting. I mean, if I do say so myself. So Stony Brook and other schools in what's called the Inter-University Doctoral Consortium, IUDC.
Oh, it's got an acronym?
Yeah, of course. Like, everything, I hate acronyms so much. Oh, my gosh. I'm like, what is that thing? I don't know. But the Inter-University Doctoral Consortium, there's a bunch of schools. I won't remember all of them, but Columbia, Princeton, CUNY, Stony Brook. Anyway, I really wanted to pursue my other interests, which are... So voice science, I'm a big voice science nerd, and NYU has a good program for that. But I, you know, would not have done my doctorate there. So SUNY Stony Brook seemed like perfect because I got a DMA, so in vocal performance, I was able to cross enroll with NYU and do my voice science stuff. And Columbia University. So I was at NYU for a year and Columbia University for a year. And I've got to say, I mean, those two, I had some amazing PhD professors at Stony Brook. But as far as performance, I still credit, you know, Barbara Hill Moore, my original teacher, I adore her. But Columbia, like being able to, you know, study philosophy and contemporary critical thought, that was incorporate like what I love, what I want to do with vocal music. That was like everything to me. And that community is still like by far like one of my favorites. So my doctorate was kind of weird like that.
That's a pretty wild schooling. Yeah, I mean, and then two before, you know, it's kind of a cool way to do it. I always tell people, you know, study with as many people as you can.
Yeah.
So you can see what they're doing, you know. It's, like, super important.
I love school. I mean,
great.
It's where you go for curious people, right? I mean,
that's right.
And here we are. We're still here.
We're still here in the basement talking. So I'm going to, so this is time for song number two. We're going to do two songs today because we won't have enough time to do whatever. But I'm going to play another song by my favorite.
Okay.
What I would call classic jazz singer by my favorite. Okay. And we're going to listen to the song and then we're going to talk a little bit about it and see what you think of this as well.
The whole day through, just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind. Georgia, Georgia, a song of you. Clear as
We're back on there. We were just talking about Willie Nelson playing here years ago. And the bubble, if anybody remembers the bubble, that's where Alumni was. It looked like this crazy, structure from, the Planet of Hoth from Empire Strikes Back or something. It was this big white bubble-looking thing. Your thoughts on Billie Holiday?
I love Billie Holiday. I mean, what do you say? I mean, so iconic. Her tone quality is so unique. Also, you know, not to geek out too much, but what she does with her vocal tract is pretty specific to her sound. She does a lot of narrowing in the vocal tract and like larynx is often in a little bit of a higher position. But I think the most important thing that comes through, as cliche as this may sound, is the soul.
Oh, and the pain.
Oh, it's
the pain. It's pain.
That blues singing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just all out there, just pouring that soul, and it is. Remarkable, unparalleled. I mean, not to be too silly, but you know, the David Sedaris does a really great Billie Holiday impression.
Oh, he does.
Yes,
oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I love David Sedaris.
Yeah, oh, he's fantastic.
Interesting. I'll have to look. I gotta look this up.
But yeah, pretty funny. Pretty amazing though. And I think in terms of tone quality, you know, because she has that such a specific. I mean, you know, the drop the needle test is pretty great with her because it's like, oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is so interesting. It's like broken in the right way.
Yeah.
That's the way I think about her voice.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the way she delivers the stuff, you know, it's interesting to listen to. I listened to some earlier recordings the other day, and then ones from like 10 years after, mm-hmm. and the change. The deepening of the voice, too.
Mm-hmm.
And she was young.
Mm-hmm.
That's like alcohol.
Yeah.
And other drugs, right? So, like, you can kind of hear that, like, change of the voice, too.
Yeah.
And the cracking of the voice when the delivery.
Yeah.
But there's something so amazing about it. Like, that's what makes it. Like, that's the X factor. I don't know, you know, like.
For sure.
The
Well, and jazz has, I think, the most freedom of all genres,
sure.
To not get pigeonholed, to not get stuck in a, oh, it's not that way, or you need to develop your tone quality in this certain way. I tell students all the time, you know, if you can sing in tune, you know, that's number one. You got to make sure that you can actually sing.
You can't do the thing unless you can do the thing.
Right, exactly. You know, and then beyond that, jazz gives you the most freedom to express your personality through sound, you know, I really think. And I mean, unless you're writing your own stuff, for instance. But
sure.
I feel like so often people want to sing covers and then it's like, well, you know, you're going to be... You're going to be held up. You know, like there's wisdom in the vocal world, like never sing anything by Barbra Streisand or, you know, because you're going to be like compared. Yeah. Like, how are you going to measure up? How are you going to live up to that? But jazz, I absolutely adore.
Gentle.
You know, how about Diane Reeves? She's probably, she's maybe my favorite living jazz singer.
Amazing.
Holy smokes, what she does. I mean, like jazz singers, I think there's like, you know, the blues and jazz singers, there's a that soul that comes through, especially in earlier singers, like, you know, 1920s through 50s or so. And then, you know, we have these modern jazz singers like Diane Reeves, where it's like an instrument, like her accuracy and like the flexibility and like
it's all an instrument, though, isn't it, though?
Well,
what do you think?
What I mean is the breadth, like, of her, like her range is so wide.
It's amazing.
And like, you know, you can pluck and, you know, finger a melody, like you can practice it at a certain speed, and like your ear doesn't necessarily dictate that. But for a singer, I tell people it's two instruments. You know, it's the plumbing, but it's also the ear. Yeah. And so in order to move quickly, you have to process quickly. And Diane Reeves, oh my gosh, if you listen to, you know, what she does, it's so fast and accurate and also soulful, you know. Anyway.
Very awesome.
But I think we're both also big Ella Fitzgerald fans. Yeah.
Oh, of course. I mean, that's just, you know, yeah, that, I mean,
like,
that's
my
daughter's named after her. So, like, I mean, that's
just, I love that.
You know, I mean, she's just absolutely incredible. You know, I always think about, like, in terms of my two favorite of the classic singers was for feeling, right? It was always Billie Holiday,
mm-hmm.
right? For, like, if I want to feel something, like, really deep. For improvisation and scatting, it was Ella.
Yeah.
You know, because she's like so good at that. Yeah. You know what I mean? And also a great deliverer, too. But she was more uplifting with her stuff. And Billie Holiday was not necessarily that, was the opposite end of the spectrum with those two. You know,
yeah. She could lay that parent pain bare, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So, in like the 10 minutes we got left or so, right? Let's talk about what's going on. Let's talk about you here. We'll skip what happened after the school till whatever you did.
Yeah,
until you got here. I'm sure there's amazing. You'll come back on, and we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the middle period.
But
let's talk about you. You're here.
I'm here. Yeah.
How'd you get here? What do you do here?
So I teach voice. I'm also teaching a class this semester called Music Cultures of the World.
Oh yeah.
Directing, the idea is to, you know, direct ensembles. Like last semester I had a chamber singers, although I'm hoping to maybe change that name just so people know that it's, I think when you hear chamber, you think classical only,
that's right. Yeah.
But not the plan, not the idea. And, I'm hoping to also, you know, implement some of my, like, voice science, you know.
Yeah. What was the name of that show where everybody was singing? It was like they were in the high school and everybody sang.
Oh, Glee?
Yeah, she's called Glee.
Yeah, exactly. Glee Club.
It's the Glee Club, but it's not a Glee Club. It's like, you know.
Speaking of clubs, though, I mean, my gosh, Oneonta, I feel like the club scene here is fierce. Like, there are so
This is a club.
This is a club.
Boney is a club. Oh, it's run by this. It's run by the Student Association.
Cool.
Yeah, which is super cool.
Yeah, lots of clubs.
Lots of clubs.
I want to get some of those like a cappella groups into my, you know, come sing in an ensemble, you know, beyond the club scene.
And I know there's at least Hooked on Tonics.
Mm-hmm.
There was a group called Pitch Slapped, and I don't know if they're still around or not.
I think so. I think didn't they just do that? There was an event last Wednesday, like a solidarity event.
Yeah, I'm not sure which one did it. I'm not sure if it was Hooked on Tonics or Pitch Slapped. Yeah. There's two of them. And then there's the Apollo Music Club, right, which does some stuff like that.
Musical
okay,
theater,
so you're teaching individual lessons.
Yes, private lessons.
Mm-hmm. And then you, Music Cultures of the World.
Yes.
And are you doing the performance practice again this semester? Is that happened? Well, you did that last semester. Didn't you, like, the theater workshop?
Oh, yeah. So musical theater and opera workshop. I'm not doing that this semester because I needed to cover Music Cultures of the World.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yep. Which I have to say that Music Cultures of the World, I have really been loving. And speaking of Pink Floyd, how do you like this?
That's right.
Speaking of Pink Floyd, the book I adopted for the course is something you will definitely want to read or listen to. It's on Audible.
Oh.
But it's And the Roots of Rhythm Remain by Joe Boyd, who was one of Pink Floyd's producers, right? And also produced like REM. And he just such an interesting, eclectic guy, still living, like a living legend. And we're very so cool. fortunate to have this book. So I feel like there's one classical centric, let's say, person in the class. And I think, you know, they're pretty, you know, like disappointed that I'm not focusing on like all classical, but Music Cultures of the World is like a behemoth. Like, where do you start? So I thought, okay,
yeah, sure.
Joe Boyd's book is so perfect. So we've already spent time in African countries, South Africa, Nigeria, Congo. Last night we were in Jamaica. You know, we're going to cruise through Brazil, Argentina. And then one of the coolest things I'm hoping to pull off is I've invited this group called the Newtown Singers, which is a group of seven women from the Seneca tribe. And
oh, that's nice.
I've invited them. Yeah. So April 28th, fingers crossed, that's going to work. So come, you know, join us April 28th. I'm even working with people here on campus to maybe host that at the college camp, which I just learned about.
That place is awesome. Have you been there?
No.
It's super cool. It's this so awesome cool. little cool log cabin in the middle of, like, you know.
I'm totally, I am so enthralled. I'm, like, enchanted here at Oneonta. I feel like it's, I really feel like it's, like, a magical place. You
it's
know?
A very cool place. I mean, every place is cool, right?
Yeah, but this has its particularly cool, you know?
It's cool for artsy things.
Yeah.
It's cool for other things, too, but, like, an arts community is very welcome here.
Yeah, I feel like it's, you know, if students are, it's like a place where students have access to so much. I'm not even sure they know how lucky they are.
No, they don't. They don't, and they don't know everything they have access to, which is why we try to spread the word, right?
Yeah.
Spread the word. The bird is the word.
I mean, there's a thrift store upstairs. That was, for me, I was like, okay, all right.
Yeah, well, there's like a food pantry, like right there.
Like, huh? I mean, so awesome. Yeah. In terms of like values, my values, I think your values.
Yeah, 100%.
This place is like, you know, exploration is possible, like supporting each other in the community. And anyway, so yeah.
I just went to a fantastic luncheon on Monday. Moore and I went for the Women's History Month luncheon.
Yeah, I volunteered to sing, but they had already planned their program. I was like, oh, could I please come and like offer something?
Oh, it was awesome.
How was it? Yeah,
good. Oh, it was super great. I couldn't stay for the whole thing. I had to leave when the panel, like part of the panel started. But Rachel Kornhauser, who's here, who works with sustainability, is one of our Gavin's Vitali.
Oh, cool! Yeah,
his significant other.
Mm-hmm.
She works here too, and works in the sustainability office, right above a couple floors above us. Rachel, you're awesome. You just gotta need to come on the show next week. Speaking of that, Gavin will be on tomorrow. Gavin and I are doing a fun show tomorrow. He's going to spin some drum and bass music, and in between that, we're going to talk about our favorite basketball players from the Denver Nuggets and the New York Knicks.
Oh, boy.
This is what we're doing tomorrow. Yeah, it's every day it's something different here in What's in Your Pocket. DJ Nos from Mark 2. Rock and rolling.
Pretty awesome. Thank you. I don't know if we're running out of time. But
oh, yeah, we're still much. I have a couple questions, though.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I have a couple questions. Let's talk about number one. Let's talk about May 4th first.
Mm.
So may the 4th be with you.
That's it.
What day of the week is that?
Monday.
It's a Monday.
Theater's
last
dark.
Week of classes, yeah. I believe, too.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and what is going on? What are you doing here?
So it's going to be a program less than an hour, no intermission, so easy breezy.
Easy breezy.
Come on by, so 5:30 in our M201.
Yep.
In the
M201.
Yeah, Fine Arts Center.
Yep.
And I just, you know, want to offer some music and doing some stuff. Giacomo and I have a guitar voice duo.
Very cool.
And so he arranges a lot of stuff that, you know, was not written originally for guitar.
Okay.
And
Does he do any Joe Beam?
He does.
Do you do any, like, Joe Beam and what was her Gilberto? Was that her last name?
We don't, but we should.
You know who I'm talking about, though. She sang the girl from Ipanema.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's her name?
Gosh, I'm terrible.
I thought it was good, but yeah, I don't know. I'll remember.
After a couple more bottles of green tea here.
These are things I should know. Okay, cool. So this is cool. So a lot of new arrangements.
So we're doing some guitar voice stuff.
Cool.
Adam and I are going to do, you know, piano voice. Still, you know, it'll be like a around the world kind of thing. Some different languages.
He's really good.
Oh, Adam.
That guy's
Kent.
Good.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's good.
Dr. Kent. He's one of those people I always have to call Dr. Kent. I can't just call Adam. You know,
why?
I can call him Adam.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like Dr. Kent. I feel like he's Superman, right? Yes. So it's like, you know, he's like Clark Kent, but I have to call him Dr. Kent. I don't know.
Oh, man, that's funny. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah.
I just always call him that. There's some people I call Dr. Nepke's the same thing, Dr. Nepke. Like,
they're serious.
Dr. Kent. It's just those.
Serious business.
Those two, they're serious. I should get Dr. Kent on here.
Yeah, totally.
We should.
Yeah, he's very interesting.
Oh, he's awesome.
Yeah.
I have a very, I'll tell you later. Anyways, okay, so besides this show, right, this is 5:30 with three amazing performers, by the way, and it's free.
And it's free.
Yeah, it's free, right?
Come on.
So you should come.
Extra credit for all students.
Yeah, what else are you, like, in the next, like, 2 minutes, is there anything else you're doing live performance-wise that anybody in any area of anything could go and check you out on?
I mean, I perform frequently in New York City.
Yep.
Unfortunately, not always like open events coming up in the next like couple months, but yeah, I mean, I've got a lot of gigs.
Gotcha.
But yeah, but definitely.
Do you sing in choirs too? Do you do any choir singing? Is it all individual stuff?
Mostly individual stuff.
Okay.
I mean, I hate to say this like a snot, but like been there, done that.
You do what you want. As you get older, you start doing what you want to do and not necessarily do the gig.
Yeah.
I was talking about this with Brian yesterday, like how he's 29 or whatever.
Okay.
Maybe turned 30. And he's like, I'm just trying to play at all the things you can. And this is what you do when you're 20.
Right.
You're like, hey, I'll do it. So people see you. And as you get older, you go, nah, I just want to do this.
Yeah.
Like, you can be choosy at that point if you're decent.
For sure.
Or not decent, but if you're good.
Right.
You can be choosy. And you live in, what part of the city are you?
In the boogie down Bronx.
Oh, you're in the Bronx?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah.
You're in the Bronx.
In the Bronx, yeah.
Sweet. My daughter lives in, just moved from the East Village, Avenue B and West, or East 6th to right in the middle of Greenwich.
Oh, man, that's the fun zone.
Oh, she's in the fun zone. She's 25.
Oh, that's, yeah.
I liked when she was in the East.
Yeah, a little grittier.
Like, that was fun for me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's total gritty. There's a record shop down the thing. It's like,
so
you
awesome.
Know, dollar slice of pizza, whatever. It's awesome. You know, that's like the part that I want to be in.
Yeah.
But she loves it. She's, like I said, she's like living the dream right now. Her and her boyfriend are like in the middle of Greenwich Village. Like,
that's lucky these days.
In a swanky apartment, you know. It's swaggy.
Wow.
And I'm like, man, this is awesome because I can go and sleep behind your couch.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
Yeah, I go to the city quite frequently. So Manhattan and Brooklyn for me. I hung out in Queens. I dated somebody there for like 6 years in Queens and Bayside.
Oh, that's a commute.
Yeah. Whatever. I had good times. Those were good times. They were great times. I love everybody that was involved in my life. And it was a good 6-year
around down there, and it was fun going to the city. But when you go to Bayside, that's not really the city.
Right.
It's like the verge of like Long Island and that, and you don't get the perks of the city.
Yeah.
You're just down there and have to pay the taxes.
Right, right, exactly.
You know, Bell Boulevard, whatever, it's fine, but it's not, it ain't no East Village.
Right, no.
I also love myself some Brooklyn, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Brooklyn. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to play a song on our way out of here by the wonderful Patsy Cline, because I love Patsy Cline. Live in Janina.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
We'll have you back. We got to get Giacomo on here.
He'll tell you about his early influences were like Hendrix, you know, not Segovia.
Not Segovia. Segovia's mean. Yeah. All right, I'm going to leave everybody with Patsy Cline. I hope everybody has a wonderful rest of their hump. It's hump day, everybody. Oh, I forgot.
Hump boop, to hump. Boop, boop. We're almost the there. Getting over that hump.
Yeah, I don't even know. It doesn't matter. Every day's a Monday. That's our motto here. Every day is a Monday. Rock and roll, DJ Nuss from Montru signing off 90.9 FM, home of Red Dragon Radio. Wony, keeping it locked, yo.
I go out walking after midnight, out in the moonlight, just like we used to do. I'm always walking after midnight, searching for you. I walk for miles along the highway. Well, that's just my way. See a weeping willow.